and welcome to another episode of Banking on Information. Today, my guest is Sophie Guibault. She's a fintech growth advisor and the co-author of the embedded finance book, When Payments Become an Experience. Welcome to the podcast, Sophie.
Thank you, Raja.
Now, let's dive right in with that very important question. Sophie, why do you do what you do?
That's a very good and right question. I think I would like to go back to where it all started. Which was a passion for finance, believe it or not, when I was 15 years old, and me deciding that somehow I would become a wealth management advisor. And 7 years later, I started doing that. And what I realized is that it was not for me, that I wanted like things to be much more, like, would say, not technical, but to some extent, I wanted a bit more diversity and not only advising people. Yeah. And that's when I started my career in finance. I've spent 5 years doing leverage buyouts, mergers and acquisition, and became an investor. And I realized it was still not enough operational. Yeah. And that's this point that I went into fintech and I would say found at least what I wanted to do. So I would say that my why is actually like that I like being very operational, creating things from scratch, because I feel that basically we can create anything we want and it's just down to our creativity. And fintech really enables me to do that for the past now 15 years.
Now, that's very interesting how you kind of like grew into that why. So first you thought, if I just advise people, they'll do the right thing. But then you realize, no, I don't just want to advise. I also want to get involved in the operational part of actually doing it, actually fixing things. And fintech is a perfect place to do that, right? So great why. So what do you do as a fintech growth advisor? What does that entail?
So the past 15 years in fintech, basically, I have spent my time launching new things. I have helped launch fintechs when I was at Bankable. Then at Fido, I launched a digital bank from scratch in the UK. Then I worked on European expansion strategy of the bank. Then redid the SME banking. And then I was helping banks launch neobanks. And then the past 6 years, I have been doing banking as service for a variety of sectors, including launching my own or co-founding my own company, Fiat Republic. So it means that basically I have spent a lot of time launching things, validating ID, finding product market fit, doing go-to-market, signing the first customers, creating the first channels, being with my backpack and signing them, and then like really finding who wants to buy the solutions. And it's what I'm really, really passionate about. Yeah. And with all this experience, what I have realized is that the way to do it at scale or at as scale as you can was to actually advise people, founders, on how to do it. So what I do now is that I support founders as well as bank execs when it comes to everything around embedded finance, and as well boards into how to do this go-to-market, signing first customers, etc. So I'm really sharing my experience and like helping them validate assumptions, but as usual, very much on the ground, very operational, providing it through advices rather than doing it myself.
Right. Yeah, and that's very valuable, right? You've been through that yourself as an entrepreneur, as a founder, building things from zero to one. And I think that is very powerful information that you can deliver to people and help them with that process when they're starting something. Now, tell me a little bit about the book, Embedded Finance book, When Payments Become an Experience. What is the book about?
Yes. Going back a little bit to what I just mentioned, I have helped launch fintechs between 2012 2015. Yeah. Then I launched a digital bank. Then I helped others launch neobanks. Yeah. And more lately, I have been doing banking as service more in an embedded finance context. So I have seen all the evolution of the sectors, right? Fintechs wanting to unbundle banks wanting to fight back, launching challenger banks, then brands want to launch embedded finance propositions. And back a few years ago, I was doing a kind of a podcast on Clubhouse. And I started looking into how brands were leveraging embedded finance. And the term was gaining traction, right? It's kind of what I had been seeing and saying since 2015, but it was finally getting traction. And I think the time where I really realized it was happening, I remember it very vividly, is when I realized Shopify was making more than 50% of its revenue in financial services. And I was like, oh my God. We are at the inflection point and there is no turning back. But the worst part is that nobody had seen it, or neither me, you know, they had been doing 50% of their revenues for quite some time in financial services.
Yeah.
And so the term was gaining traction, but not getting so much clarity. It was around 2020-21. And so I got together with my friend, and Scarlett, and we were like, we need absolutely to bring that to the world, to bring our experience. Scarlett, her banking experience, board level experience, and me, my on-the-ground experience of launching this proposition. So we have written this book, published by Wiley. It's available on Amazon. And what it covers is like the history, how we got there on embedded finance. What brands can leverage out of it, what they can do, what they can get out of it, who are the players in the industry. Basically, we have like a very big spotlight on the regulatory aspect of things, what regulators have been doing, but also what are the people in the value chain, because it's not that easy to make the difference between banking as service and embedded finance. And and so we clarify around that. And then we have like a section on like what it brings to the people, what it brings to the country, like the financial inclusion, the new streams of work. Like if you think brands are launching financial proposition, then it means a whole new like a level of people, or many, many other people needs to be trained when it comes to financial services. And finally, we imagine a day in the future of two people when it comes to embedded finance, where basically payments at the point of use happens everywhere, and you don't have to think about payment. Payment is just something that you do.
Oh, well, that is a perfect bridge to what I love to do, which is futures thinking, which is we don't know what the future is going to be, but let's think 10 years out. So think 2035. So you thought about it already in the book, but paint us a picture of what 2035 looks like from an embedded finance perspective.
So that's like a good question. I have to say we had painted it until 2030 and definitely not in an AI world that we are right now. So what I believe it's going to be, so I don't know if you know a bit, like actually, now it's a bit of a counterexample, but I'm going to say it anyway. Like, do you know about Amazon Fresh? So Amazon Fresh, do you remember the experience they were selling? So you enter the shop, you put everything in your basket, you get out, and like, then you have paid, basically.
Right.
And we believe it's going to happen like that. But what... Amazon didn't say in the background back then, it's that it were people looking at what you're buying on camera and then inputting everything in a note and then charging you. But so that's like a bit sad of a story, but the truth is that it's totally possible to do. It's just Amazon. When it comes to an embedded finance world, it's just you think everything you do happens in the background without you having to take actions. And maybe only taking actions when, like, you have put some warnings where you want to be informed of what you are actually doing with your money. Are you really sure you want to exceed your budget when it comes to fast food this month? But what's really interesting is more in an AI agentic world now is that I remember actually Matt Harris from Bain Capital Ventures had mentioned a lot about the wallets and self-optimization. And David, actually, in our book, had done that as well. Well, it's now, it's here, it's happening. Right. Like, the agents can help you optimize your finances, yes, move your money from one place to another, so that at all time you make the best of your savings, really.
Yeah. It feels a little bit like what Uber is already doing, right? You just get out and the payment happens in the background. And yes, Amazon trying to paint that picture that it was all done automatically or automagically. That you just walk out, right? I think that was also one of their slogans, just walk out. They still have the little shops now in like the airports where you can do that. But yeah, on the whole supermarket, I think it might be really hard to put all those cameras there. But that is a very interesting view of the world where it's basically payments have gone way to the background and it'll just happen in the background and almost automatically. Now, if that is the future that we're seeing, what can people do today to get ready for that?
Well, I think it's just about like using the different apps, etc., making sure you synchronize all your payments in general. But also, truth is starting really looking into AI. It doesn't have to be about maximizing your finances right now, but the truth is that I think we are in this world of AI. The agents are definitely coming. They have been here for now almost like a year or so, and it's in full force, and it's just gonna increase more and more. So I think that it's more about like not trying to fight it or not trying to ignore it. Like, I think AI makes us more productive when, like, generally. Help us focus on things that are really, really important, but just making sure that we don't stay behind the curve, like when it comes to our payments, when it comes to managing your finances, but just even in your day-to-day as like a fintech professional, right? Like putting the head in the sand is really not the right way forward, seeing how fast things are going. So I think like to fintech professionals, at least what I would say is that if you haven't started looking into it beyond like the very basic use of ChatGPT, I would just like try to find a little training and try to see how you can use AI to just simplify a bit your life. With the most tedious use case you have, maybe, or like the most we implement, but just like getting this into your day to day, so that like basically you don't stay behind, because like from what I see that some people are not quite there yet. I was not until a few months ago, to be honest, but it's just I think like I had this revelation moment. I was like, oh my god, there's no way back. Like, it's either you take the train or like actually the learning curve's gonna be like steeper, and it's not like about learning how to Google a stuff on Google like what 25 years ago. It's actually how to reinvent a bit your life, and actually like using this time for other stuff that can be learning new skills, upscaling on other stuff, and also taking time for yourself, you know?
Yeah. No, that is great. So get ready for this. This is not going to go away. Agentic AI, embedded finance is all going to... So try little things, try working with it, because it is going to be important. I think that's probably a good point to wrap this up. Thank you so much, Sophie, for being on the podcast.
Thank you, Roger.
And until next time, choose to be curious.